I'm Digital Dave. This is EAA Radio, and we are joined by Lieutenant Dick Cole and David Thatcher. I'm sorry if I get your ranks wrong.
Lieutenant Colonel?
Yeah. Well, see, there you go. Unfortunately, I'm not a military background guy, and you are the distinction of being Doolittle Raiders.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know what the Doolittle Raid was, these guys got talked into flying an airplane off an aircraft carrier that was never designed to do that, to bomb Tokyo, to send a message, and then on top of all that, they knew they weren't coming back. They knew that was a one-way plane ride, and they were told to crash land in China and make the best of it, I guess.
They didn't tell us that ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. I mean, how did they go about selecting you guys to try to do this mission?
Picked us all out of the 17th Bomb Group. It's the first group in the Army Air Corps to begin training in B-25s.
So you were actually voluntold, not actually volunteered. I guess you looked at it as a job that had to be done. You weren't worried about too much else other than that.
Well, at a time when your country's at risk, it's every person's duty to answer the call.
So that's how you saw it.
Yes.
You didn't really think you were going to be heroes or doing anything all that extraordinary at the time.
No.
No.
And we didn't think it was a one-way mission. It was no more of a one-way mission than the guys taking off in India or in England and going over Germany and France.
So you weren't worried about that part?
No. In a war, you don't worry about what's going to happen because it's not unproductive.
I see what you're saying. You can't control the outcome anyway.
That's right.
You just do the mission. Did you guys practice or anything like that? I mean...
Yeah. We practiced about 45 days at Eglin Field, Florida.
Okay. And what did they do? Mark lines on the runway and they said, this is all you got? You got to get it off the ground?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At any point did you think this is not going to work?
Well, after we practiced a while, we were able to see that it would work.
Okay. Now, the airplanes were fully loaded with maximum bomb capability, right? Were you able to carry full fuel?
No. We took all the extra equipment, since we were going to go low level, we took all the extra equipment out and replaced that with gas tanks. We doubled the size of the fuel in the B-25.
Now, as I recall, the fleet was accidentally discovered and you guys had to launch earlier than you had planned to reach Tokyo?
Yes.
So that really put a different spin on things, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We had to launch about 250 miles earlier than we expected to.
Well, that's quite a lot earlier.
Yes, it is.
So that shortened up your end run. Now, did you meet any resistance at all anywhere near the targets? I guess nobody had a clue you were coming.
On the way between the boat, when we came over the beaches in Japan and before we reached Tokyo, our crew met a formation of six planes, but they didn't see us there. We were flying so low that they didn't, it just went on overhead. But after we got to Tokyo, when we got there, number seven plane, there was quite a bit of anti-aircraft fire, but it wasn't very accurate. We didn't have any trouble.
Now, I imagine that once you left the ship, there was radio silence.
Yes.
So nobody on board the ship knew what was going on. Did you fly a formation or was it a loose grouping?
No, just went in alone.
Wow, so nobody knew anything of what was going on.
No.
Let me get my names right. You, Dick, were co-pilot with Jimmy Doolittle, so I'm assuming you were in the lead aircraft.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to see, I mean, you were the first one to drop bombs, but you didn't get to see what anybody else did.
Well, I did happen to see, we flew in trail all the way, singly, because we couldn't afford to fly in formation because of fuel. Travis Hoover's airplane, who was the second one to take off, was a little bit faster than, or he was using higher power settings. Anyway, I did see his bombs go off.
When you practiced in Florida, obviously that was just a land takeoff, but if I recall the films that I've seen, the planes more or less fell off the end of the aircraft carrier and it looked like they were going in the water. Now, what was that like for you?
Just one did that.
Oh, okay. That's the only one they ever show then. Everybody else took off nice and kept going? Well, still, you still had to have that moment of doubt, you know, is this going to work?
Well, everybody had the same distance, about 498 feet. And everybody got off in good shape, even the airplane that Dave was in.
And why wouldn't have his gotten off in good shape?
Well, we took off without flaps.
Oops. Forget that part. Now, they got the ship headed into the wind, and they were going as fast as they could to give you as much help as possible.
Mm-hmm. When I get up in the airplane, the wind was blowing across the deck so hard I could hardly stand up. So we had plenty of lift to get off.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought maybe 15, 20 knots would be about all you could get out of the ship, but I guess I'm wrong.
Well, a pretty good wind was blowing, too.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
That helps. How many hours to the destination? 250 miles? It's got to be a little over an hour. Well, no, 250 miles further than planned. So how many hours were you flying?
About 3 hours before we got to Japan.
Yeah, about three and a half.
And how low were you flying? Like, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet?
50 feet.
50 feet off the water?
Wavelength high.
Wow, so, like, ships were more of a hazard than anything else.
We did that for, they couldn't detect us that way flying that low.
Okay. I don't even know, did Japan actually have radar at that time? Or you were more afraid of visual sightings?
I don't know.
Neither.
The Enterprise had surface radar.
Okay. So you dropped your bombs on a specific target, and then you were told to just turn west and head for mainland China.
No, we flew on a south heading out of Japan because we didn't want them to know we were turning toward China.
Ah.
We flew down the chain from there.
Now, what was it like? Did you guys attempt to actually land the airplane? Did you end up bailing out? How did that work out?
In our airplane, about 4 hours into the flight after Japan, our navigator passed a note up to us that we were going to end up about 180 miles short of the Chinese coast. And at that time, we went through our ditching procedure, and nobody was really interested in ditching because flying as low level as we were, we could almost reach out and touch sharks floating on top of the water. Fortunately, Mother Nature got into the act and created a big warm front over China where we were going to land. And it developed a wind that they call the kamikaze wind, which was gave us a tailwind. It blew from east to west. And as a consequence, well, we were all able to make China except the one that went to Russia.
You said you stripped out a lot of the extra equipment. Did that include all the machine guns and everything like that?
No.
Okay, you went in fully armed.
Well, we had. I was in the turret and had two 50 caliber machine guns, and then they had a flexible 30 caliber in the nose.
So okay, so they didn't take that out.
No.
Nope. Uh-huh. We had two broomsticks there in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, the tail gunners. Yeah, yeah. Did anybody get it? I guess only the one airplane met any resistance at all, so you didn't use any ammunition.
No, I don't think they spotted us because as soon as they dropped their bombs, boy, they went back down low level.
I was going to say you had to pop up in order to drop your bombs. Now, how high up did you go?
1,500 feet.
That's still really
not
low.
Not very high.
No, I mean, you had to have felt the concussions of the bomb explosions from that range. You're practically on top of them.
We were just enough high enough so we didn't feel it.
Well, that's a good thing, because I don't think that would be much fun. And then, now, were the Chinese, did they know you were coming? I mean, or were you like, you didn't know what you were going to find once you got there?
We were just about out of gas and dark and it was raining, and the pilots spotted a strip of beach and they tried to put it down there, but best judge the distance, I guess, and we hit the water with the wheels down and immediately turned us over.
Whoa.
And the other four in the crew were all thrown out through the nose when I hit.
Did they survive it?
Yes. I was in the back and was unconscious for a while, but finally got out and And it was a Japanese-occupied island, but there was no Japanese on there at the time. So the Chinese underground got us out of there. And it took us 2 days to get to free territory on the coast, and then another day to finally get to a hospital. And there was no medical help whatever when I crashed. So the pilot was injured so bad that by the time we got to the hospital, infection had set in. He got a bad gash in his leg, and so he had to have his leg amputated at the hospital at Lin Hai.
I guess for the Chinese underground, the issue of the Japanese finding an airplane wrecked on the beach caused them some problems.
Yeah, we found out later that they landed a company of Japanese soldiers where we landed and came looking for us, but we had a head start on them across the islands. They didn't catch up to us.
Now, what happened to you guys? Obviously, eventually you made it back to U.S. somehow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you went back to your unit and went back into combat?
Yes, but a different outfit and in a different airplane.
Oh, you didn't? You never flew another B-25?
No, huh?
Oh, that's kind of a letdown, isn't it? So you stayed in the Pacific Theater, or did you end up in Europe?
I went to England first, was there just a few months. We didn't have any airplanes there, so the German bombers on their way to London would come over our base, but they didn't bother us. And then went in a convoy to North Africa, and I was there for a year.
At the conclusion of the war, you guys came out as definitely seasoned veterans.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, we seriously thank you for your service and your gallantry and bravery and a little craziness you displayed there. I think that's what we needed.
You can blame it on our leader.
Yeah, he had quite a reputation, didn't he? Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming here. Yeah. Enjoy your show, the rest of Air Adventure.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks
for
coming.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. It's an honor to meet you.